dirt. He just wipes his hand on my sleeve. And like, there was something in me back then that was like, oh my God, that I don't even want to bring the towel anymore. That's the thing. That is how it should be played forever. Yes.
Obviously,
we brought back the towel, but there was just something about that that was so visceral. And it's like, in theater, that's what's going to happen.
Yes.
The stagehand is not a perfect human being, and the stage manager is not perfect, and even the actors are not perfect. So sometimes we're in charge of our own props.
Yes. But
we'll forget something because that day, you know, was a bad day. We stubbed our toe on the way to set, and so we're kind of frustrated, and something happens, and, you know.
Yeah, of course.
But, yeah.
It makes me think of a moment we were doing Binti, and Karen played my older sister, and she's taller than me. I'm very petite, and for some reason, her blazer was switched with mine. So we get on stage, and I'm wearing this massive blazer, and she's wearing this tiny thing that she can barely fit on, and we looked completely off on stage. We're just giggling the whole time, because it was like, we look a mess right now, but okay. So yeah, love it.
Yeah. So, you landed television roles.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like been a boom of the superhero genre in the last 10 years, mostly because of Marvel, but you know, I'm an old cat, so I know that it's been happening since the 90s, but
yes.
Now there's like a real push, and you landed a role in a comic series that I actually really enjoyed when it came out almost a decade ago, maybe more. Jupiter's Amazing. Legacy.
Yes.
Tell us about that, because that dropped on Netflix a couple weeks ago, it's number one in Canada right now, and you're one of the characters. I haven't finished watching the series yet because you know, now I'm older, so I like to season. I like to just
nice.
You know, get a little taste. You know, I don't binge watch anymore. I just watch one show. And I cool myself.
Since when? Like last year?
It's been a few weeks.
It's been a few weeks.
I'm talking like I've been doing this forever. It's been a few weeks. I just take one show in and then I watch another single show because, you know, sometimes when I binge watch, I fall asleep and then I miss things.
I know. But then you don't want to go back because you're like, I mean, you know.
Did I really miss anything?
So tell us a bit about that. So Jupiter's Legacy, I auditioned for the role I was at my friend Vlad Alexis's place, and I had received a self-tape for it, and I read the breakdown, and I thought the character seemed really interesting, but it was a very short scene, and so I wasn't expecting anything. I just did what I did. Sometimes when you do a self-tape, it takes hours. Yeah. This one took me half an hour. It was one of those outliers. It was like, I really connected with the scene. It made sense to me, and I just delivered, you know? Yeah. And then a few weeks later, I found out that I got it, you know? And it was very exciting. And then I started doing a lot of flying back and forth from Toronto to LA, because we started... The costume designers were designing the supersuit, Sierra Ectoplex, the supersuit. I didn't even tell y'all, I play the role of Sierra Ectoplex. She's a badass. I don't want to give any spoilers, so just go watch the show. But so it was wicked for me because it was the first time that a production was flying me to go and try on a costume. You know, so I spent a few days on Hollywood Boulevard, and I was looking at the Hollywood sign, and I was like, this is insane, like, our dreams manifesting right now, this is crazy, you know, and the costume team were all so great and innovative. I may be biased, but I think that Sierra's supersuit is the nicest, it's the most beautiful, and, it was just surreal to see really the behind the scenes. I I didn't know that green screens could be that big. I didn't know all the work and training that goes into learning how to fly, you know. Right. And so we did a lot of stunt training for a few weeks. We had, there's a big battle scene that happens in the show, and we practiced for it for a few weeks with our stunt doubles and also as the actors ourselves. Like, everybody needed to know the routine, and it was such an intricate choreography.
Yeah.
That we just had to do it over and over and over and over again. Yeah, until we got it.
It has to be seamless from stunt double to actor. So if,
exactly.
if the actor is flying in and you can see the actor's face, but when they're landing, they do a double barrel roll, flip, turn, a jump up, exactly. and a turn around, it needs yeah. to be seamless. Like,
exactly.
your hand position needs to be almost exactly the same, so that in the editing room now it doesn't look too obvious.
Exactly.
Like,
so,
back in the 90s when, like, you could tell is not Arnold Schwarzenegger. This is a guy with red hair.
Your stunt double.
Yes.
Does your stunt double actually look like you, like, same stature, same...
Close enough, but no. Atifa is definitely a little lighter than me.
Okay.
And a little taller than me. Mm. But we made sure, obviously, that the hair was the same. And it's really all about the move. Like, all the flips and the turns when you don't see my face. Those kinds of quick movements.
Okay.
Yeah, she took all the hits for me. She definitely did. I made it look intense, but she took all the hits. For sure. So... yeah.
Tell us, okay, don't tell us too much about the story, but tell us about your character. Like, what is her power set? Who is she? Where is she from? Because mm-hmm. Jupiter's Legacy is a very unique superhero story. It's not your typical, an alien came from, well, there is a bit of an alien situation going on, but it wasn't like an alien
yeah.
landed on Earth, Superman, typical stuff.
Exactly,
it's a little bit
yeah.
different. There's a lot of biblical references in there for, like, one of the most powerful characters. It's kind of controversial in a way. But tell us a little bit more about Sierra.
So Sierra, I just spoke to Phil Boutet, who was he was behind the conceptualization of the costume and the character. And he told me that the story behind Sierra was that he based it on people who had albinism in Mozambique, who he basically, my past life, Sierra's past life, takes place in Mozambique, and she has albinism. And people with albinism are often cast aside as being witches or cursed, or they have powers that people are afraid of, and so they're pushed to the side, yes. you know?
And
so
that's in a good, that's on the good end of the spectrum.
Cause that's
on the
it.
Bad
if
end
you,
of the spectrum,
yeah.
they're sometimes killed. They're sometimes consumed, eaten.
Yeah.
So it can get pretty bad. And this
it
is
gets
in real
pretty
life.
Gruesome. Yes. This is in real life right now.
Yeah.
And so he told me that, yes. So I was this young woman with albinism in Mozambique, because of the fear of people being afraid of me, I have my arm amputated. I get my arm chopped off.
Right.
Horrible. But then, when I reincarnate, I reincarnate with these powers, these psychic powers. So I have extreme psychic powers, and I conjure up ectoplasm, which is, I mean, in the show, we don't really dive that much into it,
yeah.
but it's not just like electricity, it's actually like psychic energy turned into something tangible, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so yeah, I use that to blast people. I have an ability to really see through situations. I stand with the union. I think that it's important that we protect our people, and especially people with superpowers should not dismiss them. And you know, when, like, with great power comes great responsibility, that's kind of my train of thought. I'm like, listen,
yeah.
I have these superpowers, I'm not gonna pretend that I don't, and
yeah.
just like roam the streets like I don't have something powerful here, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's Sierra in a nutshell. Mm-hmm. The story is really interesting. If you want to learn more, go on my Instagram page. I made a post about it. Phil Boutet and Liz are incredible. They've given so many more details about the costume. And it, for me, it was just so fun to learn more about this person that I would be playing. And I'm sure that you'll enjoy it as well. So yeah, go check it out on Instagram at AIZABBY.
Yes, and you also have some behind-the-scenes shots as well of you.
Yes.
Of you prepping for training for some of your battle scenes and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Just in case you're tuning in for the first time, we are Soul Perspectives. We are also speaking to Ezani Barikure, who is telling us about Jupiter's Legacy, a series, a Netflix series that just dropped a few weeks ago that you should definitely, definitely take in. Especially if you like the superhero genre, because it is kind of different from what's already out there. We do have to take a little break and come back to you. Keep it locked. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. Ma tête tourne, tourne tout le temps. Bouge et suis le mouvement. Vous ne m'êtes pas sur le rythme. Ivresse. Et s'empare de moi et remet au combat tous ces démons qui m'habitent. À quoi ça sert de pleurer le passé? Le tempo me libère des pressions démesurées. Je veux vivre moi, fiche-moi la paix et toi. Je suis née. Souvent hanté par les tourments, tous nos amours qui donnent et résonnent, mais ça ne vaut pas la peine de nourrir des rengaines jour et nuit. Pourquoi, pour qui, pourquoi, pour qui? Oh, à quoi ça sert de pleurer le passé? Le tempo me libère des pressions démesurées. Je veux vivre.
One thing we've all learned from COVID-19 is that something small can spread quickly, like a ripple. If enough of us do our part by getting vaccinated, we can start a wave. A wave of Canadians helping each other return to the people and places we love. We can all help by getting vaccinated. Learn more at canada.ca/COVID-vaccine. A message from the Government of Canada.
We are back, we are back, we are back. This is Soul Perspectives. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson. I'm in studios with...
Renee Jordan.
And we have on the line with us Ezani Barikure, who is on Netflix as Sierra in Jupiter's Legacy shoots ectoplasm from her hands, has psychic powers, and is just all of the goodness, all of the good stuff. Before the break, we were talking a little bit about your experience in terms of preparing for the role. That is Sierra, a superhero that really believes in great power and great responsibility and taking her role on. I worked at Black Theater Workshop for a while, and one of the things that always came up with my colleagues who are in the industry, and I think even you and I have had that discussion as well, is hair. Mm-hmm. How you navigate non-black, usually white makeup artists and hairstylists, makeup artists as well, because like with your skin tone, not all of the makeup that they have usually matches the skin tone, but especially our hair, it's mm-hmm. very different from straight and long. Mm-hmm. So how did you navigate that? And also, I think I can say it because it's in the trailer, you rock Bantu knots as yes. your character, you know, and that's not something that we see very often when it comes to like non-black centered cinema or television shows. So tell us a little bit about how that came to be and what that experience was like.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I want to start by saying that Strong Black Lead gave me a shout out on Instagram, and I was so, so touched because when it comes to Sierra's hairstyle, you know, I rock Bantu knots regularly. I'm rocking them right now. And for the audition, not only was my hair like that, but it just made sense to me that Sierra would have her hair in Bantu knots because she has a bit of a badass side. And Bantu knots are, they look cool. They're a great protective hairstyle. You don't have to switch it up every day. Like, it's one of those hairstyles that just, like, is great, you know? Yeah. And after seeing my audition tape, the hairstyling team said they loved it, yeah. you know? But the thing is, they don't know how to do it. So I went in for, like, a test styling, and I realized that the person just really had no idea what they were doing. So I was like, okay, well, I'm going to find my girl, Mata. I connected with her in Toronto, and she had been doing my hair every now and then. And I was like, listen, girl, I'm just landed this role in a show. I'm going to need you to hook me up and get those bantu knots on my head looking really snatched and good, you know? Right. And so that's what we did. So I went and made sure that my hair was right every few weeks. And, you know, it kind of opened up, it opened something up for me because I realized in that moment that as black performers, people with curly hair, because I'm finding out that it's not just black people, it's just like curly hair patterns. Like a lot of hairstylists just have no idea how to manage that. Yeah. And so we find ourselves being our own hairstylists, yeah. but we don't get credited. We don't get paid for it, no. you know, and that opened up a bigger discussion and a bigger realization for me. And I'm realizing like now I want to be an advocate for this. If you end up doing your hair on set, prepare for that, have an invoice ready, take a photo of your receipts if you're using extensions. I urge every actor out there to do that so that we can change the paradigm so that, you know, it's not about, instead of being like, oh my God, they don't know, they should learn how to do our hair. They should learn how to do our hair. Look, they might not, but at least get paid for it. Right. Get paid for the work that you do. Right. And so that's the experience that I had with the show. I'm happy that I had agency. You know, they weren't just like, no, we're going to do this instead. And it looked a mess. Like the reason why yeah. I look so snatched is because it was in my hands and I went to the right person to do it, you know? Yeah. And so to get props from Strong Black Lead was like a nice 360 for me, because at the end of the production, I was like, damn, that was like a lot of money invested in my hair, but I should get paid for this. Like at this yeah. point, you know, yeah. and you I think it's, That's it. It's high time that the culture changes around that. We should get compensated for the work that we do.
And what about your stylist? Does she get style credits, let's say? Because I know that that's an award that they give, let's say, in terms of all the other awards that actors get, there is something for the stylist and the styling and that team.
Yeah. It all goes back to the hairstyling team that has been hired by the show. So mm-hmm. any credit that the woman I worked with, her name is Mata, hairstylist in Toronto, the credit comes from me because
okay.
as far as
so she won't actually be listed on
oh my god no
the stylist team
oh my god absolutely not
which in a way is tragic because if there's yeah. something that is to mention about it being your hair that sets this show apart from others in terms of the styling, mm-hmm. you know, she's the one, but she's not getting the credit for it.
Exactly. And how, you know, is that story so far-fetched? Is that story new? I don't think so. No. But I think that's why it's so important to start claiming our power back and not be afraid to ask to get paid, to send in our invoices, and to say, listen, I get that you might not know how to do my hair, but I do. But I'm still going to get paid for it. And then, you know, we can also push to get proper credit, but, you know,
yeah.
we'll see where that goes.
I guess it's one step at a time.
Exactly. It's one step at a time. For me, my goal is to empower Black actors and POCs to get better working conditions, to secure their bags. You know what I mean? Like, that's my ultimate focus before anything else.
Sounds good to me. Sounds good to me. I'm just remembering a few years ago when I think the series was called Quantum.
Mm-hmm.
With that South Asian actress, and like she's in the FBI, and oh my god, I'm forgetting the name of the main actress, but she was a Black woman, and she actually was like, I am not having a white woman. She was one of the leads. She was one of like the more powerful characters. Mm-hmm. And she was like, no, we need to have a Black hairstylist on set because
mm-hmm.
y'all ain't going to jack up my hair. And mm-hmm, they hired mm-hmm. a friend of mine, Stacey Merriman, to do her hair for the duration of the series. I think at least two Amazing. Seasons. So yeah, for sure.
Love 100%. It. And that's it. It's and you know, earlier I said, yeah, we're at the bottom of the totem pole in the hierarchy, but at the same time it's really important to remember that we as individuals have a lot of power. And if you start speaking up, if you start putting your foot down, it inspires others to do the same, and that's how you create a movement of change, you know? So that's why it's just destigmatizing also, like, stop protecting bad behavior. Yeah. You know, people need to understand, like, Black people have been here, we've been killing the game, we're shining everywhere we go. Our hair is shining. Amazing. And you know, that's
keep
it.
Keep on shining.
That's it. We're going to keep on shining. So it's like, get on it. Like, on learn something new.
Or get out.
Or get out of the way, you yeah. know. That's it.
So we're coming to the end of the show, but you have music that you've been working on. So tell us mm-hmm. a little bit about that. And of course, tell us all of the places where people can get to you.
Yes. So, you know, music is definitely my first love. And I'm always writing, creating more. And I'm writing some new tunes right now. Some new tunes. Ugh, Kim, I don't know if y'all are ready. But soon enough, whether you're ready or not.
Here I come.
Exactly. It just feels so good to be at a place where, like, I feel really confident about what it is that I've created. I feel less stressed and in a hurry because my sound is my sound. Like, yeah. I feel like I've always had a bit of trouble kind of blending all my gigantic love for music, so different genres and vibes. Yeah. But now I feel like I'm right in the pocket, you know, R&B soul, Afro pop, a bit of trap, just like mix that in. Mm-hmm. And just with some uplifting vibes. I'm always about empowering my people and speaking my truth. And I feel like with this new batch of songs, you're going to get to know Aza on a deeper level and hopefully see yourselves reflected back in the music. And my hope is to be part of the soundtrack of your lives. You know, those moments where you're like, this is the day I decided to take that leap. This is the day I decided to quit that job. Or this is the day I decided to tell the person I love that I love them. You know, taking those leaps towards a better, greater life. You know, that's what I want my music to do, and that's what I've been working on. But in the meantime, you know, you can go check out the bops that I've already released. You can go check out Turn to Gold, go check out Show Up, just my whole musical catalog. Follow me on Instagram at AIZABBY. Follow me on Facebook as well. I think I'm about to get on Twitter. I am on TikTok. TikTok got me. It's a great app. I've been having a lot of fun. Follow my Shay Zanigans on that.
Okay. The handle is the same?
The handle is the same, at AIZABBY. And so, yeah, so, you know, follow me, and then you'll know when the new music is dropping. But I am telling you, just prepare. Just get ready, because it's going to be lit.
All right. Thank you so much, Aza. It's been a real pleasure to talk to you and catch up. And you know, let the people know who you are. From that first time I saw you at Mass until now, where you're just massively taking over the world with Jupiter's Legacy and beyond with your music. Thanks so much for being here. That is all the time we have for this evening, folks. Every Tuesday evening, we're here from 7 to 8:30. We're talking to people and finding out how they're navigating the pandemic. And what they're doing in life. Thank you so much for tuning in. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson. I've been in studios with
Renee Jordan.
And we had Aza Nibarikure talk.
Black, black, black. Yeah. My hair is kinky. My nose is white. My skin is technicolor. You peep my aura. You love the glow. Before you touch my shine, just know it ain't my style. It ain't my shade. Ain't what I do. Ain't what I say. I'm just hella black. I'm just hella black. I'm just hella black. You're fine if you're offended. I'm just blacker than licorice. Harder utter another brother with penmanship. Smooth as butter, my lady lover is cinnamon. From the gutter, my baby mother, my venison. What that mean, my dear, like your dinner, singing Bambi. Can we get a bit of color on the man we hail as the greatest melter ever tread the land or sea? Because it'll make our vision a little more grandy. Also, don't know why cocoa skin folk drip don't get promo in places with more bucks than added to combo. But if you don't know,
it ain't my style.
Wake up!
This is Health on Earth.
Salud en la tierra.
Dinyan en salve.
It's the health of the world.
Briut ba'olam.
Pour la santé sur la terre.
Gesund in Welt.
Yinhong esai gai.
Afianzuri duniani.
Saúd para todo mundo.
Manquaet en dairak nai.
Prithivi monte shuri e jokin.
Salamat dar jahan.
Zavash zdorovi.
Tien kan le shijie.
Apomudin wa asaseso.
Zdrovie na zemi.
La salute su terra.
Health on Earth.
Did you get vaccinated?
Not yet, but I will soon.
And which one are you getting?
I'm getting the dance vaccine.
The dance vaccine? Great idea.
Yeah, rehearsing with the girls is what I miss the most.
Well, it's going to be the soccer vaccine for me. I can't wait to see the gang again.
Each vaccination brings us closer to these moments. Follow the vaccination sequence planned for your area and book an appointment at quebec.ca/COVID-vaccine. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec.
Welcome to Health on Earth at CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is François. It is currently 8:31 p.m. and I will be your host for tonight. For tonight's show, we'll talk about the coronavirus. Earlier today as well, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau had a press conference discussing about the state of coronavirus in the country. Here's what he had to say.
Vaccinated.
Have now received at least one dose of a COVID-19 vaccine. And that number is going to keep going up fast because millions more doses are coming. We now rank number 3 in the G20 on doses administered per capita. It's clear that working together as one big Team Canada is paying off. To all of our healthcare staffs at hospitals, pharmacies, and vaccination centers, thank you for being part of this historic effort. You're doing a great job. Keep it up. We're all so deeply grateful. And to everyone who's now eligible to book a first dose, we're all counting on you. Make sure you get your shot when you can. If we all do our part, if we get vaccinated and continue following public health guidelines, we will have a much better summer and we will get through this crisis once and for all. There are lots of reasons to be hopeful, but that doesn't mean we can let our guard down yet. In a number of places, we're still facing a very serious third wave. Last Friday, I reached out to Premier Pallister about the extremely concerning situation in Manitoba. I also had a call with Mayor Brian Bowman of Winnipeg. I let them both know that the federal government is ready to do whatever it takes to keep Manitobans and all Canadians safe. As soon as a province asks for more assistance, we're there to help. That's why, in anticipation of Manitoba's official request for additional support to manage the situation, we're preparing to deploy federal health human resources. We're also looking at deploying medical staff through the Canadian Red Cross and sending support from the Canadian Armed Forces. In just a few moments, Minister Carr will speak more about additional support for Manitoba and what we're already doing in the province. Since the beginning of this crisis, our government has worked closely with all provinces and territories to make sure everyone is safe. And as long as this pandemic lasts, that's exactly what we're going to continue to do.
This Thursday, we will be holding another meeting of all provincial and territorial premiers. We will first talk about the measures that we need to take to end this third wave, and right now that has to be our number one priority. We will also talk about the various reopening plans. The premiers around the table will have the opportunity to share their experience about what is working well across the country. And on that note, as we are gradually reopening, we have to not let our guard down. The number of new cases has to be brought as low see a loosening of restrictions where it is safe to do so, but we have to remain responsible. Everyone has to do their part. You need to continue to follow local health restrictions and get your vaccination as soon as you can. If we do all this together, we will have a better summer. We will be able to see our friends on the patios, and we will be able to eventually get through this crisis. Today, I also want to take a moment to mark the first anniversary of the death of George Floyd in Minneapolis, United States. We all remember the horrible images of that murder that scandalized and changed the world.
And it was a reminder that there are still too many people living with anti-Black racism and injustice, including here in Canada. Last summer, Canadians, and especially young people, marched to demand change. From economic empowerment through the Black Entrepreneurship Program to proposing to remove ineffective mandatory minimums from the criminal code to historic investments in community organizations, our government is working with Black communities across the country to make sure nobody is left behind. We will continue to take real action to fight systemic racism and create more opportunities for Black Canadians and for everyone. Before I end, I'd like to say a few words about the arrest of the Belarusian journalist Roman Protasevich over the weekend. The behavior of the Belarus regime is outrageous, illegal, and completely unacceptable. This was a clear attack on democracy and on the freedom of the press. We condemn it and call for his immediate release. We also condemn this kind of dangerous interference in civil aviation. Canada has existing sanctions in place against Belarus and will be examining further options. We also strongly support action through all available international institutions, including the International Civil Aviation Organization, the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe, and NATO. We stand in solidarity with our partners in defending journalists all around the globe. Merci.
Thank you. I will now give the floor to Minister Carr. Jim?
I want to begin by acknowledging that I'm joining you from the traditional Treaty One territory of the Anishinaabe people and the homeland of the Métis Nation. The COVID-19 situation here in Manitoba is serious. We are experiencing surges, more variants of concern, and climbing ICU rates. Our healthcare system is reaching its limit. To our essential workers, I want to say thank you. To the exhausted nurses, doctors, and other hospital staff who have been on the front lines of this latest surge, you have the gratitude and respect of our entire province. Teachers, custodians, grocery store workers, public transit operators, you've kept life going for us. You keep stepping up. Thank you. Across our province, we are feeling frustrated. Sometimes we even feel angry. We're exhausted by this virus. We've endured a first, second, and now third wave of lockdowns, of business closures, active case counts, and most tragically, lives lost. If you've lost your job or are anxious that you might lose it, if you've had to close down your business, this new surge in the virus may feel crushing. And in light of the current situation, today, departments and agencies across the federal government have again come together to support the government of Manitoba and the people of our province. In response to the recent request from the government of Manitoba, the government of Canada is preparing to deploy additional federal health resources, including medical staff to the Canadian Red Cross and the Canadian Armed Forces. The armed forces will support vaccine rollout in 23 Indigenous communities in Manitoba. And we are also providing 50 additional interviewers to do contact tracing across the province. The Government of Canada is also prepared to deploy epidemiologists, lab technicians, and increase testing capacity from the Public Health Agency of Canada and Health Canada to respond to needs identified by Manitobans. Since the beginning of the pandemic, we have responded to all 17 requests for federal assistance from Manitoba. The National Emergency Strategic Stockpile has allocated over 37 million units of personal protective equipment, vaccine ancillary supplies, and other medical equipment to Manitoba, including nitrile gloves, disposable gowns, face shields, N95 respirators, and surgical masks. Manitoba has requested additional biomedical equipment, which the NESS expects to be able to supply. I would like to thank municipal leaders, such as Winnipeg Mayor Brian Bowman, for their leadership, and to Premier Pallister for his cooperation. We all share a common goal, keeping Manitobans safe and building back better and strong as quickly as possible. For the Manitobans who are watching this update, stay home if you can, get vaccinated, and encourage the people you care about to do the same. There is hope. More Manitobans are getting vaccinated every day. Canada is in the top three countries of the G20 delivering daily vaccinations. It's up to us to stay vigilant, follow public health guidelines to drive case numbers down. Get vaccinated. As the Prime Minister has said, the federal government will do what it takes for as long as it takes to keep Manitobans and all Canadians safe. Thank you. Dr. Tam, over to you.
Thank you. And bonjour à toutes et à tous.
Good morning.
Nationally, prior to the long weekend, we were seeing strong and steady declines in disease trends. And data after the long weekend will tell us whether these trends continue. The latest seven-day average of 5,000 or fewer new cases reported daily is 40% lower than the peak of activity in mid-April. The number of people experiencing severe and critical illness is also decreasing as overall infection rates come down. The latest seven-day average for the number of people with COVID-19 being treated in our hospitals each day has dropped by 20% since peak activity to about 3,400 daily. Of these, on average, of about 1,300 were being treated in intensive care units, which has dropped 10% since the peak, and average daily deaths are down 15% to 41 deaths being reported daily. With 4.5 million COVID-19 vaccine doses delivered before the long weekend, and Canadians continuing to roll up their sleeves as vaccination clinics expand across the country, our fastest moving trend is happily that of vaccination coverage. Last Friday, we reached the milestone of 20 million people having received at least one dose of COVID-19 vaccine to date. This number is increasing fast. To continue to make the progress we need, each of us has a key role to play on the vaccine runway. By getting vaccinated as soon as we're able and keeping up with essential precautions, such as masking and spacing, we can sustain our strong and steady progress while more vaccines roll out to help us bring this curve in for a landing. Regardless of your vaccination status, following the advice of your local public health authority, choosing lower risk activities and settings, and keeping up with essential precautions will help protect the progress we've made and set us up for a better summer while we get our health in order for a safer fall. We've been asked to do a lot to protect each other, and it would be great if we could say that this was the last wave we've ever need to worry about. But until the infection rate is well and truly down, we can't regain the upper hand and get our public health, laboratory, and health capacity back on top and ready for the fall. If we can continue cautiously for the summer, while immunity is building across the country, we'll be able to re-establish proactive capacity for laboratory testing, genomic sequencing, case investigation, and contact tracing to interrupt the spread at source. Working together, we can end this pandemic and get back to the connections and activities that enrich our social and economic life and well-being in Canada. Thank you.
Bonjour à toutes et à tous.
Good morning, everyone. Across the country, before the long weekend, we all saw an important decline in case numbers and the trends. And we will see after the long weekend whether these trends continue. Five new cases 5,000 cases are being reported every day, and this is much lower than what we saw in mid-April by about 40%. And we also find that hospitalizations are going down as vaccinations are going up. And so we find that every day we have seen a decline, which now amounts to 20% since compared with mid-April. We have about 3,400 people in our ICUs, which is a 10% decrease compared with April, and we have now 41 people on average dying every day, which is 15% lower. We know that Canadians are continuing to roll up their sleeves as vaccination clinics expand across the country. Our fastest moving trend is happily that of vaccination coverage. And last Friday, we reached the milestone of 20 million people having received at least one dose of COVID-19 vaccine today. This number is increasing fast. To continue to make the progress we need, each of us has a key role to play on the vaccine's runway. By getting vaccinated as soon as we are able and keeping up with essential precautions such as masking and spacing, we can sustain our strong and steady progress while more vaccines roll out will help us bring this curve in for a landing. Regardless of your vaccination status, following the advice of your local public health authority, choosing lower risk activities and settings, and keeping up with essential precautions will help protect the progress we've made and set us up for a better summer while we get our house in order for a safer fall. We've been asked to do a lot to protect each other, and it would be great if we could say that this was the last wave we ever need to worry about. But until the infection rate is well and truly down, we can't regain the upper hand and get our public health, laboratory, and health capacity back on top and ready for the fall. If we can continue cautiously through the summer while immunity is building across the country, we'll be able to reestablish proactive capacity for laboratory testing, genomic sequencing, case investigation, and contact tracing to interrupt the spread at source. Working together, we can end this pandemic and get back to the connections and activities that enrich our social and economic life and our well-being in Canada. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Ngo. The Prime Minister will be taking three questions on the phone, one question, one follow-up. Same for reporters in the room. Ministers and doctor will remain available for 15 minutes afterward to answer more questions. Merci, Dr. Ngo. Le Premier ministre va prendre trois questions au téléphone, une question, une sous-question. Même chose pour les journalistes dans la salle. Les ministres et docteurs demeureront disponibles pour 15 minutes par la suite pour répondre à plus de questions. Opératrice, c'est à vous.
Thank you. Merci. Please press star one at this time if you have a question. S'il vous plaît, appuyez sur étoile 1 maintenant pour poser une question. La première question, Catherine Lévesque, La Presse canadienne. Your line is open. À vous la parole.
Oui, bonjour, Monsieur Trudeau.
Good morning, Mr. Trudeau. I would like to come back to what you said last week about the Constitution and the fact that Quebec wants to change it, because that created a lot of concern and fear, especially in English Canada. So I would like to ask you to clarify your remarks. Do you agree that Quebec is a nation and French is its official language? Answer. For a long time, the federal government has recognized that we have two official languages, but that Quebec has a special role to play in protecting French in Quebec, and we continue with that view. However, we do also intend to ensure protection of official language minority groups across the country, including Anglophones in Quebec. We will defend those minorities' rights with respect to Quebec being a nation. I have stated for a long time that Quebec does form a nation,
It is a province that I have long recognized that French is its official language. Catherine, question. I want to come back to what was confirmed last week. And I want to know whether your government is going to intervene to protect that Canadian citizen. If we receive an extradition request from France, we will certainly respond as we should.
Extradition request from Quebec, that'll be, sorry, if we receive a an extradition request from France. We will, of course, analyze it with the full rigor that Canadians expect us to.
Thank you. Operator, next question on the phone.
Thank you. Merci. La prochaine question, the next question, Dylan Robertson, Winnipeg Free Press. Your line is open. Avez la parole.
Good morning, Prime Minister. What do you think the need for federal support in Manitoba's ICU says about the provincial government's planning, preparedness, and response for the third wave of the pandemic, given what we saw in the weeks in other provinces from the impact of this wave?
Thanks, Dylan. Obviously, we are deeply concerned about the situation facing Manitoba, which is why I reached out to the Premier and the Mayor of Winnipeg on Friday to talk about what more we could do. As I said, we stand by to send more support, whether it's through the Red Cross, whether it's through the Canadian Armed Forces, whether it's frontline workers. My job as a federal leader is to be there to support Canadians in every corner of the country, not to judge how provinces have managed it. It's simply to be there to put the interests of Canadians first, and that's what we will always do. Jim, do you want to follow up on that?
Prime Minister, we're squarely focused on the needs of Manitobans, and when the request comes from the provincial government, we have been there to respond and to respond quickly, whether it's adding vaccination capacity within First Nations, adding more epidemiologists, more public health officials through the Red Cross and the Canadian Armed Forces. We respond to the changing needs within the province as expressed by the Premier and by public health professionals. We have been here for the people of Manitoba, and that's the focus of our attention. And that's why we are making these further announcements today.
Following up, Dylan.
Prime Minister, the Manitoba Premier says North Dakota wants to share vaccines with the province, but it's being blocked by the Biden administration. Do you share that understanding? And is our ambassador to Washington advocating to make this happen?
We have been, since the beginning of this pandemic, working with partners around the world, including the United States, to ensure that we get through this as quickly as possible. The conversations continue, including at the level of our ambassador in Washington. We will continue to try and make sure that we're getting Canadians vaccinated as quickly as possible so we can get through this and get life back to normal, and as well turn even more efforts to helping the world get through this, because we don't end this pandemic anywhere until we end it everywhere.
Since the beginning of the pandemic, we have worked with our partners around the world, including the United States, on the need to get Canadians vaccinated as quickly as possible, and we continue to work with our partners in the United States, in particular through our wonderful ambassador to Washington, and we are making every effort to get everyone vaccinated as quickly as possible so that we can get back to a normal life and so that we can help people around the world, because we know that the pandemic will not be over anywhere until it is over everyone.
Thank you. Merci. La prochaine question, our next question, Hélène Bizetti, Les Coops de l'Information. Your line is open. À vous la parole.
Good morning, Mr. Trudeau. I want to come back to this issue of the Constitution, because last week your remarks were criticized by many in the country, especially outside Quebec, and in the Globe and Mail, there was mention of that. It seems like this
clause about Quebec being a nation can be interpreted differently and applied to other aspects of the Constitution. At least that's the fear. And I would like to know what you think about that fear. I don't share that interpretation. Answer. Hélène, question. Okay. Perhaps you could give a little bit more detail. You don't think that there is any risk. Some people also are concerned about the Anglophone minority in Quebec and feeling that you are abandoning them and that French as the official language of Quebec could be interpreted as meaning that Quebec Anglophones' rights won't be respected. Answer. As I have said, we will always be there to defend minority rights in Canada, including those of Anglophones in Quebec. We know, though, that Quebec needs to take steps to protect French, and we are working with others, including the provinces, to protect language rights.
Glenn McGregor, CTV News. Prime Minister, you've said repeatedly you don't want to have an election campaign during the pandemic. Will you commit now to not going to see the Governor General, whether interim Governor General or permanent appointment, unless the House of Commons has voted a lack of confidence in you until the point that the World Health Organization declares the pandemic over?
As I've said, it has been one of the strengths of this country that political parties, that across different orders of government and indeed within parliament and assemblies have been able to work together to get unprecedented support out to Canadians. I made a promise from the very beginning that we would have Canadians' backs no matter what it took for as long as it took to get through this pandemic, and that has worked. And by and large, other parties have supported that. We have seen, however, that we need to continue to have a well-functioning parliament so that we can continue to get support out to Canadians. And that is very much my focus. Nobody wants an election before the end of this pandemic. And we certainly hope to be able to continue to deliver all the helps that we promised to Canadians without over interference by opposition parties.
Since the beginning of this pandemic, we have promised that we would do everything necessary to support Canadians regardless of how long the pandemic lasted. We have been fortunate in Canada that all of the political parties across the countries and here in the federal parliament have been able to work together to put in place support measures. But the pandemic is not over. We still need to deliver assistance to help Canadians get through the pandemic. And I hope that the opposition parties will provide their constructive support for that. But we will work on that. And we know that nobody wants an election before the end of the pandemic, because the pandemic is our priority.
Mr. Trudeau, Man Hamidi with the Canadian Press. What assurances or documents do you have that Moderna is actually going to be delivering on their contract, considering that they're supposed to be the workhorse of our vaccine campaign this summer? Has Moderna been clear about what's causing the delays?
Actually, I would argue that Pfizer has actually been the reliable workhorse of our vaccinations. They have continued to deliver, although Moderna, particularly in the early months, being able to deliver so many doses to the Arctic and to remote Indigenous communities made a huge difference in preventing further outbreaks up in the north. We are very fortunate as a country to have had so many different deals with so many different countries, companies to allow for the position we are in right now, where more than half of Canadians have had at least one dose of a vaccine. That is what is going to get us through this. But on for further comments on vaccination schedules, I will turn to Minister Anand.
And this is all for today. Once again, my name was Francois, and you were listening to Health on Earth at CKUT 90.3 FM. Next up is Hotel du Blues. Have a good night.
Good evening. The time roundabout now on your dial should read 9 p.m. You're listening to Hotel the Blues here on 90.3 CKUT FM, broadcasting from a small wee little house nestled on the side of Montreal's Mont-Royal on unceded Mohawk territory. I'm your host, Vishwa Ramakrishnan, playing for you some of my favorite blues hits, associates, and affiliates. To get tonight's program started off, here is Joanna Connor playing I Feel So Good.